Haverty's Furniture is here to help you get set for the season with up to $1,000 off. So you can set the stage with style and set the bar more beautifully. So why not settle in together on a new sofa? Because being at home doesn't mean having to settle for less. Even though the holidays feel a little different this year, Haverty's Furniture can help you create the perfect holiday setting with up to $1,000 off plus 0% interest.
This is No BS Job Search Advice Radio, episode 1599. I'm your host, Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome. Tomorrow's the big day, episode 1600 of this show. No show is even close, and I had the number two show until I discontinued it a few months ago. That one had over 800 episodes when I stopped it. This one, twice as large. Twice as many episodes as number two. And beyond number two, they're way back in the pack. This is a 7-day-a-week show where I try to provide you with great advice designed to help you with your search. And today's show, before the big one tomorrow, continues my theme of taking some of my interviews from Job Search Radio and bring them here. And this one's about self-promotion with a man named Rick Gillis, who I thought was a good guest, and I think we'll have some input for you. Hope you find this helpful, and I hope you give it a great review in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to the show, iHeartRadio, of course. And there's more information at the end of the show. Listen to some of the ways that you can get in touch with me. And meanwhile, it's Sunday, so let's get going.
So my guest on this show is Rick Gillis, a nationally recognized job search expert who's written 5 books, including his 2 most recent ones, Promote and Job. 2 separate titles, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Rick, welcome to Job Search Radio. Great to have you.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, you know, I know I see it. I'm sure you've seen it as well. What are job hunters doing wrong that we can fix today?
Jeff, I don't know if we have enough
time. We've got 28 minutes. We're going to fix it in 28 minutes.
I don't know if we have enough time to cover it all, but here's fundamentally the thing. People need to realize we are no longer working in the model from 1985, 1955, 1935. With the advent of email, the entire dynamic changed, and it changed on both sides, for job seekers as well as recruiters, and I don't care if it's staffing companies or in-house for corporations. The overwhelming amount of information coming both directions is phenomenal, and that, quite frankly, the job seeker knows how to play the game.
What do you mean the job seeker knows how to play the game?
What do I mean by that?
I
tell you what, I have no problem telling people they have to learn the game, the system. Let me tell you a little bit, Jeff. My very first book, which I won't even give you the title because it's not for sale. The dynamics changed. The technology changed. So even on Amazon, where it's still available, I put on there, personally, I'm the author. Please do not buy this book. Buy the next one instead. But the dynamic changed when keyword resume filtering software happened. And when I say the game, you really have to understand that your resume has to mirror the terminology in the job posting. That's fundamental. Because the software, see, people don't realize they put all their heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears, and this is going through machine, online applications, and this is not an in-person thing. But they have to match the terminology as best as possible. And what I have done on my, because I've created my own resume formats. On the short form resume, I've actually created a section at the bottom of the page called keywords. And I extract those terms that are in the job posting, put them at the bottom of the page, reduce them to about a 4, 6, 8 point. It doesn't matter so much on the size. But those are done, put there for the purpose of gaming, if you will, the software, and getting pushed to the top of the pile. And a lot of people try to do this by making sure they take all that terminology, and they're virtually rewriting their resume every time, and that's just not time sensitive. The other thing, I've had a lot of people, and Jeff, I think you'll appreciate this, I've had a lot of people over the years that cross their arms and scowl at me when I start talking about this technique. And about 3 years ago, and I think probably a lot more companies are doing it now, but about 3 years ago, Apple created a field in their online application called keywords. And any term that is not already that you have used in the application, in your resume, that you feel would enhance your recognition, you're getting viewed and possibly a phone call from Apple, they have a field there where you type in just random keywords.
Interesting. You know, I've heard the notion of keywording a resume as you're proposing, but often I hear about doing it at the top of the resume rather than at the very end of the resume.
You know, let me explain something, Jeff, and this is probably the most important part for your audience to know. I helped start the very first job board in Houston, Texas. We were crazy successful, and only because we were the first. I mean, I have no problem telling you that, because you and I both know that from 1995 on, and we started in 97, about 2 years later, there were 70,000 job boards out there. So, of course, the market just, you know, diluted and diluted and diluted. But starting out and being the very first in there, I had access to a lot of people and a lot of software that was being created literally on the fly. I don't mind telling you, and this cracks me up when I think back, and this expresses my digital dinosaur status. When I started out, we did not have a search engine. We did not have a search engine for the first year and a half we were in business. What we provided were databases. So if you wanted a mechanical engineer, we provided you the database mechanical engineer, the database for chemical engineers. That's how we did it in the very beginning. And one of my biggest, you know, I'd go back to the guy and say, guys, I gotta have a search engine, you know? So, but anyway, the reason I tell you this is because I followed the whole process. I saw some of the very first earliest resume filtering software, which is a module of the applicant tracking system. A lot of people call it the ATS. It's not. That's the whole piece. Resume filtering is a tiny little module. But basically what I saw in looking at all this code, and I have friends of mine that have written code for these things, it doesn't matter where those keywords happen. It's just that they're somewhere on the page. Now, I will say this, Jeff, and this is very important for your audience to know. The fact remains that the end user, let's say it's American Express, Johnson & Johnson, I don't care who it is, the company. The end user, the vendor provides the end user the opportunity to only scan whatever they want to scan. Now that's an important consideration because they can set, and a lot of them do set, to scan their resume only page one. Now if that's the case, they're only scanning page one, and you'd wonder why wouldn't they want to look at the rest of it? It's because they're looking for most current skill set only, and use that as a principal qualifier, and then they'll go look at the rest of it. But if that's the case, and education or some other rich, really, really rich, robust keywords are on page two or three, you might get missed. So keyword placement is not as important as it needs to be on page one of whatever you're submitting.
So what you're saying is, on page one, you need to get that MBA of yours, or that MS
yes.
Computer Science,
mm-hmm.
onto page one, not at the back end. The only reason to put the education at the back end is the absence of the degree, because that would be unimpressive to an organization. And anything that's really important, you want to, I'm going to use the slang term for it, stuff onto page one. Now, is there a preferred font size that the systems want to see?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, this is why I spent 10 years selling to hiring professionals, staffing companies, headhunters, recruiters, corporations, business owners, etc. 10 years. And I tell everybody that I'm an imposter. I learned this. I've never been in HR, never been in staffing, but I spent 10 years and I learned this business via osmosis. I watched what recruiters wanted. I watched what turned them off. And then I went out and was speaking to employment groups, and I figured out real quickly that the lingo, they weren't talking the same language. That was really important. So anyway, that's why I designed my own resume format. I call it the short form resume. It's a one-page document. Now, this is nothing more than a break the ice document. It's not meant to get you a job. It's meant to create a dialogue. And I call it the short form resume because it's one page, but also because you have to have a long form or a traditional resume when they call and say, hey, I like what you sent, but I need more information. And so then you send them off the, you know, the 2-3 page, 4 page, whatever it is. But as far as font size goes, I recommend no smaller than about a 10, 10 and a half. But if you're just graduated from college, you don't have a lot of history, 12 point might work for you better. But I don't want to get too small, because the main thing I feel strongly about, Jeff, in a resume is that you've got to leave some white space, because these recruiters, and you know it, you're in the business, you get blinded by how much information people try to stuff on one or two or three pages. And consequently, the meaning, the gist, the meat of it gets lost. So people need to write, number one, to their audience, which is the employer. And number two, keep in mind that the recruiter is a real person. Try to be friendly to them. And I use that air quotes, friendly, but I really mean it. Make it a document that you would like to read, you'd be comfortable reading, not something that's going to go, oh my God, this person used 8 points and there must be, you know, 900 words on this page.
It could be brutal sometimes. I'm going to pause here and say, we're going to be back with more from Rick in just a moment, but first my job search insider tip, which, you know, it's a coaching tip today rather than something concrete. And the tip is really about how you conduct yourself in your job search. I think a lot of people I've met in my career, and I go back 40 years in search, really play small, and they've been conditioned to play small from the time they got into school, and they were taught to sit at a desk and do what they're told and regurgitate facts and get 100 or else you're not going to get into that college. And they finally get into that college and they're told the same thing again, because the next time it's about getting that good job, and they wind up in that good job and they hate it because they've ultimately been conditioned to operate in a box. My encouragement to you folks is, you know, it's time to get out. If you're not happy doing the kind of work that you're doing, it's time to experiment and explore some other alternatives. Now, there's an earlier show that I did where we offered, and I'll have something about this in the show notes, the opportunity to take a test called CoreMap, which I found more interesting and more effective than Myers-Briggs. Find out what it is that's going to make sense for you. Meet with a coach. Speak to a coach. Get tested in one way or another and find that area, not only of your passion, but where your passion, the market, and other factors intersect where you can have a career. So that's my tip for this show. Let's pick up with Rick again and continue where we left off, which is about font sizes. And I must, in all honesty, tell you, you know, I'm not 24 anymore.
Yeah. Appreciate that. My glasses are sitting on my head as we speak.
8-point font, the first thing I do is I've got to resize it. And folks,
yes,
why are you making me do something extra? I only have another 200 resumes in my inbox to go through, and they're constantly being replenished. Because as soon as I open up one, two more arrive. So you've got to give us a font size that's readable and makes it easy for us to find the skill while we're scanning it. Because I think everyone's heard the statistic, Rick. We look at a resume and make a decision about a person in 6 seconds.
Right? Yeah, you know what, Jeff? I'm hearing and agreeing with 3 seconds now. And you, Jeff, you've been doing this long enough, and I have too, and I can tell you, and I'm not looking at any of the content. You know what I mean. The other people outside are going to go, well, that's crummy, because you put all this blood, sweat, and tears into making that perfect document, and then for me to tell you, you might get 3 to 6 seconds. Yeah, you can look at it and see the quality just by a glance, and then you decide I'm going to spend some hard time on this. What I tell people is you want to get a 10-second glance, which will turn into a 10-minute conversation. And that's really what you're trying for. And let me tell you let's talk about another big hint, Jeff, that I think you'll appreciate for your audience. When you're done with your resume, don't hand it to your significant other and say, what do you think, dear? Hand it to somebody who has a critical eye. Hand it to somebody who's in the employment business or is a business owner, and let them look at you. Because when I counsel somebody, I counsel and I prepare all my clients, and I warn them that I'm going to be talking with them as if I'm an employer. And like when I ask somebody a question and they go off down some rabbit hole and I say, that was a yes-no question. You know, do you have a college degree? Yes. It's not where did you go to college and what sorority were you in and all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's so funny, isn't it?
It is. And so I, because I tell people, pretend you're in a court of law, you're on the witness stand, answer the question and shut up. Now the answer might be one word. It might be 10 seconds. It might be 3 minutes. But what I find is that people will go down a rabbit hole if they're not careful with that. So that's one of my, I have prepped the people for the interview as well. And I know you interview, so I know you prep people for, you know, this eventuality. It's when it all, that's when all the rubber meets the road.
so true. You know, and that remark that you made about don't show it to your wife, partner, husband, you know, is so important these days because what do they know that's relevant?
Right.
So there was a guy, I just did a show with him a few weeks ago, and you know, this is a guy who's an editor for a major publication.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to write, and he knows how to critique. And he has two books that sold extremely well, made the New York Times bestseller list. I know he knows how to write, but he had to do a resume. Didn't know how to write a resume.
Yeah.
He thought
yeah.
he did, but
yeah.
you know, when he's getting no responses for 6 weeks, he decides to call me up and ask for some help. So the first thing I did was I look at his resume, and I shred it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. As a matter of fact, after this show, I have somebody that's going to be calling after we record this today. I've got somebody that's going to be calling and discussing the same thing. And I've already looked at it, and I'm just like, and this guy's highly skilled, professional, credentialed, but it doesn't come across.
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You know, folks, I have to repeat this because I know I've said it on other shows. You have to make it easy for people to figure out what you know, what you've done. And again, a previous guest, several previous guests have referred to it as PAR. I added an extra letter on it to it to make it Italian, PARM. So it's, you know, what's the problem that you faced, the actions that you took, the results that you got, and give us some metrics of what the improvement was based upon your work. So if you increase sales by 20%, reduce costs by 15%, or you perform 13% better than the average employee in the role, just get that in because it differentiates you from everyone else.
Well, and Jeff, I would go further. If you told me 13% and you guys only did 13,000 in sales, that doesn't mean anything. So if you did 13% improvement and it was $20 million in value, that's where you go because dollar symbols and lots of zeros. And I tell my clients, do not put 2.1 mm. Do not put 2.1 million. Put 2,100,000 because zeros scream off a page. And that's what employers want to see, whether it's in savings or in revenue, but they want to see those millions, those, you know, let's face it, if somebody's going to be paid $100,000, they better be generating $1 million in value. And if they're not, they're going to be watched closely, and when they can be replaced, they're going to be replaced.
As inevitably they are.
Well, we are a commodity, and that's what I tell people, and it's a really brutal thing, but honestly, employees, workers are nothing more than a commodity, and as long as you're providing value for what you're one of the things I have in my one of my slides, it's a really important point, Jeff, is that I tell people you see your paycheck as payment for services rendered. An employer sees that same paycheck as their investment in you. And if that investment is not returning a return, it's gonna get dumped. And yeah, I mean people get dumped all the time because of this. So that's what the promote book is about. The promote book is about personal promotion, but before you can promote yourself on the job, and this is, I'm not talking about bragging. I'm talking about informing on a continuous basis, communicating with the management, and this is just not your immediate supervisor, but all of management, the value you're bringing on a regular basis. But before you can do that, you have to take a personal inventory and determine what it is you deliver. And what's interesting, too, about this, especially when we discuss quantification, Jeff, is that sometimes a lot of people make money for a company by figuring out a better way to do something, a better way to file. They cut a corner off of something, and it turns out to be really successful, saves the company a lot of money. Sometimes those little things you have done 3 months ago, 3 years ago, and you look back on it now, and that's kind of where I guide my clients through, and they look back and they go, oh, my God, I had no idea. And I'll tell you one story that I realized coaching one of my clients, and I had a little snap to here not too long ago. I realized when I was in the commercial real estate business, I had saved my organization, which was a national real estate company, hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's because what happened exactly, I got sued by a broker who said I owed him $70,000 because I had renewed his client's lease. Well, I never saw, and after he sued me, I went looking, and sure enough, in the lease, the previous lease, the existing lease, I should say, the previous general manager had written this broker was entitled to a commission for all renewals. I missed it. My boss said, what do you want to do? And I said, we got to pay him. We're not going to go to court on this. And I paid him. But the next day, and I was really upset because now that deal lost money and it should have, you know, it would have cashed out. Well, it lowered the profit margin. But the next day, my secretary and I, we went through all of our leases. We had about 180 of them. And I created a document called the lease abstract. Now, that was a document that sat on top of every lease, and it annotated any modifications to every lease and every file we had. And this is back in the old days, pre-internet. So my boss comes to town, and he pulls a bunch of leases. He always did. He said, let's look at some leases. He throws them out on the conference table, and the first thing he opens up, and he sees this lease abstract document. He said, what's this? And I told him what it was. And I remember he looked at me. He just went, whoa. Well, 3 months later, the entire company, this was policy. Every lease would have a lease abstract on it, annotating any anomalies. I saved the company millions of dollars. But I didn't realize it back then, because sometimes it takes time to look back and determine the value you did bring to the organization when you were there. So when we have these little, you know, meetings and discussions, my clients start coming out and they're going, you know, I never really thought about what I had done, especially if somebody has been at a company for a long period of time. So I call it what you called the PARM. I call beginning, middle, and end, because every accomplishment statement is going to say, I was responsible for blank that resulted in blank. The blank, the last one, is always a net result, a net value. That's the statement you talk about. At the interview, you be prepared to talk about the how, who, what, where, when, and why. Give all the details. That's part of my consulting piece.
When you talk about promotion, it's one of the reasons why I encourage people to sit down every 2 to 3 months and take some notes about PARM, to get a sense of what they've done, how they went about doing it, and all the little things that have occurred over a 2 to 3 month interval that they might forget if they went longer.
And I'll tell you what, Jeff, let me change that up on you. And this is interesting,
sure,
because when I was writing the promote book, I'm, first of all, what you just said, gospel. I believe it. I agree with you wholeheartedly, even if it's down to once a month, once a week. However, and I am so lucky that I went and did this little search, I went to look for an app. Yep. I went to look for an app. I went to, in my case, the Apple store, but you know, go to the Android store, go to your app store, and search on accomplishment, achievement, or performance review. There's an app for that. And I found several of them, and I tried out two or three. The one I tried out, I set it up so that Monday through Friday, it sent me an email reminder, and it was just basically, what did you do today? I clicked on that email. It took me to my account, which, by the way, was free. All of these I have found for individuals are free. And I would type in, it would say, what did you do today? And I would say, Counsel Jeff Haldeman, hit send. And then I'd type in the next thing I did. Because some days I'd look at the screen and I'd go, I didn't do a darn thing today. But here it is, 5 o'clock, and I don't remember all the stuff I did. And so I would type in, and I'd start realizing, I'd look at my calendar, I'd go through my mental list of all the phone calls I made, and I would realize all this stuff. So I would type 4, 5, 6 reminders and hit save. That's it. The next day, Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock, it'd take me 3, 4, 5 minutes to do this. And then after about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, I started looking back and I started realizing this is amazing. Now, these apps have been designed for performance review. So that's where they're trying to make their money, because at the enterprise level, they're charging you per client, per use. But for individuals, they're free. So that's why I'm telling people now, and I have it in the new promote book, there's an app for that. And trying to do it even a month later, a week later, you're still going to forget some of the stuff. So I strongly encourage these apps.
Fabulous recommendation. Which one do you happen to use?
You know what? I don't want to promote them. And I'll tell you why. I reached out, and I was going to do it in my book, and they were not very polite. They were not very courteous, and so I won't promote them. But seriously, there's a bunch of them. Go out there, go to the App Store, and just put in, you know, performance review, accomplishments, or achievement. There's 8 or 10 of them last time I looked. And they're all about the same thing. They're all about the same. Now, off air, Jeff, I'll tell you the one I used. But I don't really want to promote them. Like I said, I found it to be very discourteous and very unprofessional, as people go, not as the app. I thought the app worked really well. Actually, they were more interested in selling to some big company. They didn't care about me. That's what it really came down to.
Of course.
Yeah.
So what else can people be doing to promote themselves internally as well as externally outside their organization?
Well, you know, that's really a good question, Jeff, and that's a big question, and it kind of leads to where I'm writing this next book, which is kind of promote on steroids, if you will. You know, if you really start keeping a track of all the things that you do, and listen, here's another thing that's really important, Jeff. People need to understand, I don't care if you're an admin assistant. You're doing a good job if they're keeping you around. It's just that simple. Make a note of those things you're doing. If you're, you know, if you're a senior scientist, IT, whatever, wonderful, great. But, you know, there has to be all that support staff that helps you. But if you're really good at what you're doing, and you start keeping track of this stuff, and you start realizing how good you are, maybe you ought to consider going out in business for yourself. You know, one of the things that I open the Promote book with is the introduction, which says, and this is true, you only have approximately, and this is a farmer's saying, you only have approximately 40 seasons to bring in the crops. Well, guess what, guys? We only have about 40 years to work in our life. That's about it. From the time we get our training or finish our education, go to work, about 40 years, and yes, we're getting older, so some of us are going to be 50, 60 years out, whatever. But the fact is, age discrimination is going to get in the way at a certain point, and you're going to get kicked to the curb. I'm telling you this categorically, because I see it all the time. But, so you have a rich, real 40 years or so to make a difference, to make your money, to make your legacy, to put your kids through school, to buy the house you want, investments, whatever you want to achieve, about 40 years. And when I speak to college kids, what I say is, you know, if the idea of being 60 years old and not having accomplished all you wanted to do bothers you, and then I put up the next screen is blank, I say, stay with me today. Because I do consider this promotion piece that important. And you know, Jeff, you mentioned it too in your break there a second ago, that you've only got so much time to do what you're going to do, do it well. You know, and maybe you're looking for another job, maybe you're looking for advancement, and because what you were talking about specifically was what I call job shopping, and I promote it all over the place. Because the team, and this is an important concept, and it's almost anti-American to say this out loud, but the team, remember, we're all part of a team, and I'm promoting you to promote yourself. In other words, I'm saying I, me, mine. Now, the team is important. We all have to play well and be courteous in the sandbox. It has to, you know, includes all of us. But the team is not paying your mortgage, and they're not putting your kids through school. And so you have to look out for you always, and especially, I'm really pushing this book out to women, because women are still getting 78.5 cents to every 100 cents a man is making for the same work. And I maintain that part of it, not the total reason by any means, but part of the problem is that women are not promoting themselves. All of my female candidates who have come through with me, working with my counseling, every one of them has been resistant to negotiating salary when they got the offer. And I insist that they negotiate salary. And except for one just balked. She just didn't feel good. She didn't do it. She took the first offer. Every other one I've had have gotten some. Well, they've all been excited. They've all gotten a raise. Some as little as $5,000 a year. One lady got $15,000 a year, and she called me from her car. She was up in Dallas. I thought she was going to go off the freeway. She was so excited. I said, call me when you get somewhere, because she didn't expect it to happen. And she got a $15,000 boost. Now, it was a fairly high rate. Her base, they had offered her $150. So it was a lot of money. But to walk out of it at $165 was just phenomenal. And, you know, it just took her asking. They had it. So, you know, this promote piece is all about you making this 40 years count. That's what this book is about.
Rick, we don't have a lot of time with one another today, so I just want to ask you one more question. What haven't I asked you that we should cover? Balls in your court. Tell us the last point or points that you think we ought to hear.
Wow, that's really huge. I'll tell you what. I'm going to use the tagline on my promote book. The subtitle is, it's who knows what you know that makes a career. That comes from a line that says, it's not who you know, it's not what you know, it's who knows what you know that makes a career. So I would say it's up to you to make sure that you're, you know, in the game for yourself. Work hard for the team. Make sure your company is successful and all that. That matters. But look out for yourself.
I'm going to throw in one extra thing.
Go ahead.
This is going to be a little different than your opinion. To me, it's always okay if the two of us disagree.
Of course.
I'm a believer that, number one, companies don't know how to assess for team players, and number two, they're basically telling you, when they say we want to see a team player, that we just want a docile, obedient person. We would never want to hire Steve Jobs or Larry Ellison. You know what I mean?
Jeff, you're exactly right. I tell people, death on a resume is when you put entrepreneur, business owner, founder. That's death. Everybody wants to hire an entrepreneurial mindset. They don't want to hire an entrepreneur.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few more ways to get more from me. First of all, visit my website, which is thebiggamehunter.us. I have more than 6,000 blog posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read that will help you find your next job. If you want the best of my advice, join jobsearchcoachinghq.com, where I've curated information with a focus on interviewing. If you decide to take the lifetime membership at the site, it's $299 currently, but that's the price of a coaching session or an hour of coaching from me, and I'll be giving that to you if you join with a lifetime membership. Have a few questions? Contact me through the Magnify app for iOS or PrestoExperts.com, where you can call me. Schedule a specific time with me through chat on Magnify or by connecting with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Once we're connected on LinkedIn, you can message me about coaching you, scheduling in time for Magnify or Presto Experts. Speak with me about a resume or LinkedIn profile critique, help you with a salary negotiation or my trusted advisor services, and much, much more. Like you, I don't work for free. I do charge for what I do. You can take my classes on Skillshare and become a premium member using the link in the show notes and receive 2 months for free instead of just the one that the site offers. Skillshare offers thousands and thousands of courses, not just simply mine, on a host of different subjects that can help you in many different ways. Lastly, join my group on Facebook called Career Angles. It's free to the first 250 people who join and is focused on helping you do better at work. Information is shared daily, and we're attempting to build a supportive group there. Ask to join. I'm not letting recruiters in at this point. So I'll be back tomorrow with more, and in the meantime, I hope you have a great day. Be great!
Total Wine & More is a wonderland to explore. Thousands of wines and spirits, unexpected pairings and great gifts, low prices and helpful guides. Make the holidays magical at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.